الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، ما بعد. حياكم الله brothers and sisters في الانترودكشن اوف ذا خطبة اوف توداي. طيب، before that I just want to summarize for the brothers who do not speak Arabic what I said after Jum'ah. I said that most of you have heard of our brother Jamil Hakim, who was the chief of utilities in the airport, who passed away last Wednesday or last Thursday morning. Last Wednesday morning, rahimahullah ta'ala. And many of you know only that he is the responsible of the supply of water to the compound, and that the water cut off was because of him. But they don't know the technical causes of that, behind that. Only those who are working with him and in that field can know that. And I have discussed this with a number of them. From them, his assistant, Eid Al-Marwani, was with us here in this compound. And he said that it was only because of the refurbishment of the water reservoirs here in the airport. The project which been implemented, or 70% of it was implemented. That's why today or last 2 days we had water most of the day. It's not because he has gone so water came, as we hear from some people. But the truth is that because of what he did, we see water today coming up, and inshallah it's going to to improve and to be better. But people do not know that I accompanied Jamil Hakim for a long time. We had agreements and disagreements, and that's normal between people. But I was the imam of the masjid there for a long period. I never ever finished my prayer there and turned to face the people except that I see Jamil Hakim praying. Maybe I miss some faces, maybe they are praying in somewhere else, but Jamil Hakim was always there. And everybody knows that Jamil Hakim never misses the prayer, even in the emergencies. We've been one day in a very serious emergency. Wallahi, even myself was busy, but Jamil Hakim, when I asked where is he, they said he's gone to pray. Jazakallah khair. So, what I want to say is that some statements have been made, and some jokes have been made, and this is not good for the Muslim. Every one of us can make mistakes. No one is exempted from mistakes. No one is perfect, except Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So do not look to the mistakes of others and try to magnify it and forget their goodness. That's not good. That's not good. And especially those who passed away, Abu Islam. Our duty is to say rahimahumullah. We seek forgiveness and mercy for them. That's my advice. والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. Today we are still in the series of the adab or the manners or etiquettes of Islam, which are obligated upon every Muslim. I said in the beginning after khutbah al-hajah, all Muslims, in the ceremony or the khutbah of last Friday, I mentioned the adab or the manners and etiquettes that the Muslim should have or should be upon with Allah Ta'ala. And today, can you just put this off? These two. Here. Side. And today, we are going to provide and present some of the adab, the manners and etiquette that the Muslim should be upon when dealing with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From these adab, plural of adab, and it means manner and etiquette. So that's what we are going to use, this Arabic terminology. The adab, the first adab is to believe in him and his message. As Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 157, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say, O Muhammad, to all mankind, verily, still need to put this one off. Verily, I am the messenger of Allah to you all. الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض لا إله إلا هو يحيي ويميت. Say, O Muhammad, O mankind, verily I am sent to you all as the messenger of Allah, to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and earth. لا إله إلا الله. None has the right to be worshipped but He, Allah. It is He who gives life and causes death. فآمنوا بالله ورسوله. So believe in Allah and His Messenger, meaning Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته. The Prophet, النبي الأمي الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته. The Prophet who can neither read nor write. He was illiterate. Meaning Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Who believes in Allah and His words, meaning the Quran. واتبعوه لعلكم تهتدون. واتبعوه لعلكم تهتدون. And follow Him so that you may be guided. So that you may be guided. So you have to believe and follow. The second adab is to believe that Allah Ta'ala really has sent him not but to be the mercy for all mankind. As He Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have sent you not but to be the mercy to all mankind. To all mankind and jinn. And everything, not only mankind. Remember, from the signs of His mercy to other than mankind, for example, to the jinn, He says, do not use bones and dung in cleaning, in cleanness, after getting to the toilet. When He was asked why, He said, the bones return as full as it was of meat, as full of meat as it was before you eat it, to be the food for your brothers from amongst the Muslims of the jinn. And the dung return as food for their animals. That's with the jinn. With the animals, He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when one day He saw a camel, He called the owner of that camel and He said, your camel claims to me that you made it work hard and you feed it this. Do you do that? He said, yes. He said, don't do it. And when He was traveling in a journey and a woman had her camel driven very slow, going very slow, she cursed the camel. He asked, where is this camel being cursed? They said, this camel. He said, okay, release it. Leave it to go along. No cursed animal to accompany us. That's as a sign of mercy. And when He was sitting with His companions and a bird came flying over them, He said, whom scared this bird by taking the edge of it from the nest. One of the Sahaba said, I did, Ya Rasulullah. I said, return it back. And the light. And he said, if you want to slaughter a sheep or a goat or a cow or a camel, then make sure that you sharpen your knife well. Do not show the knife to the animal. And do not slaughter one in front of the other. And when you slaughter it, make it as fast as you can to make it rest. Subhanallah. And many other, hadith, he showed us the mercy even towards animals. Now, not only animals, even environment. He saw Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbid to destroy for no reason. For no reason, for no valid reason. And from the adab that the Muslim should have with Rasulullah to believe him in all what he says of the news of what happened in the past and what's going to happen in the future, even if it cannot reach your mind. Even if you cannot imagine how it is. Why? Simply because he is the one who taught you. Example of that is what Bukhari and Muslim reported on the service of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that the Prophet ﷺ one day prayed Fajr, and then he turned to the people and said, while a man driving his cow, he was tired, he felt tired. So he rode on the cow. And you know that the cow goes slow, not like horse, donkey, camel, goes very slow. Then he hit the cow, making it to move. The cow turned and bent its neck to see him and said to him, in a very understandable voice and words, we were not created for that. We were only created to harvest, to do harvest. People around the Prophet ﷺ said, Subhanallah. They did not disbelieve or reject, but they were wondering of the incident. A cow can talk? He ﷺ immediately said, I believe in that. Me, Abu Bakr and Umar. The narrator says, Abu Hurairah said, Abu Bakr and Umar were not there at that time. But they believed. When they were told, they said, yeah, we believe. None of the three attended this incident. Neither Abu Bakr Umar nor Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was there when the cow spoke. This is in the nations before us. And that's why he said, me, Abu Bakr and Umar believe in that. Why? Because it is a revelation from Allah. Then the narrator Abu Huraira said, فَآمَنَ النَّاسُ فَقَالَ النَّاسُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ آمَنَّا بِهِ آمَنَّا بِهِ يعني بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So they said, we believe. And what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said? We believe that he is Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Why? Because Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah said, "Amana Rasul bima unzila ilayhi min Rabbih." The messenger had believed in what been descended to him from his Lord. Right? Wal mu'minun, and the believers believed too. Kullun amana billahi wa laikum, to the end of the ayah. And that's also because Allah Ta'ala said at the beginning of Surah Al-Najm, "Wal najmi idha hawa." By the star when it collapsed or thrown. مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. Your friend, the messenger who sent the speech is directed to the kuffar. And in Arabic they say صَاحِبُكُمْ means the man who was sent to you. It's not necessarily that they are friends. La. When they say friend in Arabic, صَاحِبُكُمْ, here it does not necessarily always mean friends. In Arabic we have words that can give the opposite meaning of its original meaning. This is one of them. When it is said to good people, it means your friend that you have love with, brotherhood with. And if it is said to your enemy, it means your enemy. Here it means your enemy that you do not believe. مَا ظَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. He wasn't misguided. He was neither been misguided, nor that he missed the way or missed himself. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And he never speaks out of desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. Well, he is only a revelation that been revealed to him. And from this adab is to believe or to know his extreme how can I say that? حرص. كيف نقول حرص؟ لا. Yeah, his extreme desire could be, but it is his extreme observance to benefit the people, all mankind. How to benefit them? To protect them from the fire, to bring them only the truth. And that's what Allah Ta'ala said. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Verily verily a messenger approached you who is one of you who finds it difficult that you reject his call. And who is always worry about you and hope that you accept the truth. بالمؤمنين رؤوف الرحيم. And he is always with the believers. رؤوف الرحيم. One who is always with mercy for the believers. Always merciful with the believers. And from this adab is to obey him and all what he commanded you with, up on your ability, not up on your desire. Allah says, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u ar-rasul wa uli al-amr minkum." All you who believe, obey Allah, obey the messenger, and those who are of power over you. Now, and the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. If I command you with anything, then do of it as much as you can. But how people deal with this? As much as you like. How do they understand it? How, as much as you like, which is wrong. You don't deal with the sunnah as much as you like, but as much as you can. You do your best. You struggle against yourself to be up on the sunnah. And as I said, I give only one example. In regard to the beard, do people now deal with the sunnah as much as they can, or as much as they like? It's not as much as they can. In some cases, maybe those who are forced either to shave or to be torched or to be put in jail, that's a different thing. But this is not the case of even 99% of the Muslims. It's not the case even of 99% of the Muslims. What is the percentage of those who shave? 99% of the Muslims shave their beard. 99% share their fields, although only 1% of the whole population of Muslims may be forced to share. And I doubt of this percentage. But yet 99% share. Why? Is it because they are not able to? I'm wondering. If it is financially, how? To leave the beard, you spend no money. To shave it, you pay money. So financially, it is not correct. If it is security, if it is fear, then as we said, maybe 1%. Maybe 1%. Although I doubt this percentage, but maybe 1% of all Muslims are forced not to shave, not to wear their beards. Why we see 99% shaving their beards? They say it is not obligatory. Are we talking about obligation? We're not talking about obligation. We're talking about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although we have the proof that it is obligatory, but leave the obligation. Let's look about to the sunnah now. Is it the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? Definitely it is the sunnah. I challenge anybody can say it is not the sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until he passed away, he did not shave his beard. He did not even cut. There is no any clear hadith saying that he cut. Even piece of it. So why they clean shave it? It's not إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. When I command you of something, take from it what you can. And from the adab is to abandon and avoid all what he forbid for you. All what he forbid. As Isa Sallam said, وَمَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Immediately. Immediately. It's not upon your ability. لا. Immediately. Although, we still say, if one is not able, what can he do? But, let's measure the ability. Don't touch the hand of woman. Oh, I'm not able to. What does it mean? You are not able to. Or if I don't touch the hand of my female supervisor, I'm going to be terminated. Is this the truth? I don't think. Have it ever been happened? I don't think so. I never heard of it. And yet, there are committees and organizations that you can complain to if this happens. Because this is not from the human rights, even what the kuffar agree upon. I doubt if any kuffar say that you have to handshake a woman or you be terminated. It never happened like that. I never hear. I don't know, you guys from the West, and you tell me if it happens like that. Maybe if you don't work in a remixing, they terminate you. Maybe. Because they have only remixing or nothing. Okay, in the remixing, do they force you to smile and sit to a woman and, you know, be a friend of her and take her email and send her emails and text her and text her through the phone and jokes and subhanAllah. All this you say, wallah ability, what ability? SubhanAllah. And subhanAllah, in my visits to many of these countries where they mix, I see even some du'as, maybe coming out of the mosque or the auditorium, or, and one speaks to him, not asking about what she needs to know, speaking, subhanAllah. And she is open, she doesn't cover her face. And, SubhanAllah, what is that? Did Rasulullah tell him used to do that? Show me one. Show me one. SubhanAllah. Rasulullah bay'ah with the bay'ah, which if they don't, they will go to fire. He did not accept to put hand in the hands of women. Not to be terminated from your work. Although we said if it is to reach, if it reached, if it reaches the level of terminating, then this is another issue. But it's all lies and claims, and false claims. That's why we say, Ikhwan, we have to implement the Sunnah. It's only claiming, Abun the Sunnah, this one Abun the Sunnah, slandering, backbiting, criticizing, Abun the Sunnah. What is Sunnah? What is the Sunnah? Show me the Sunnah. Is the Sunnah to be with you or I'm against you? Is it to be with you or I'm out of the Sunnah? Is this the Sunnah? Prove it, ya akhi. Subhanallah. And from the adab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that to know that there should not be any worship to be implemented, to be done, fulfilled, performed, except what been proved that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam either did it or called to it or agreed upon it. But if you have nothing of that, then how come you do it? Allah Ta'ala said, as in Surah Al-Imran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يَحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad, if you people claim that you love Allah, you are sincere with Allah, then follow me. How to prove your love to Allah? To follow Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How to gain the forgiveness and love of Allah? To follow Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Without it, you can't. You will not have it. No way. And he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fa warad." Whoever innovates anything in our matter, meaning Islam, which is not from it, meaning which is not inherited from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Did you inherit it from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Did you have it from the Khulafa al-Rashideen? If not, why you do it? Why you do it? It is rejected. It's not going to be accepted. And he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is for one who innovates. Someone may say, but I did not make it, I did not innovate it. But I found it. I found people doing it. We say, okay, listen to this hadith. He Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad." Whoever does anything from what is not from our matter, then it is rejected. And from the adab is, from the adab that is obligatory upon Muslim to be upon, is not to put a saying of anybody before the saying of Rasulullah. You don't put nobody before Rasulullah, whoever he is, major scholar, whatsoever. You don't put him before Rasulullah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa walidihi min walidihi wa walidihi wa nasi ajma'in." No one of you would have a complete iman up until I be the one that he loved the most. That he loves me more than his father, his father, his children, and all mankind. All mankind, who they are. And from the adab that you have to be upon with Rasulullah Sallam is not to harm him, is not to bother him in any of his family, whether they are wives or children or descendants or any relatives, but with one condition, that he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away and he was pleased with them when he passed away. But those who he was unpleased when he passed away, then we have no any good connection with them. The like of Abu Lahab, who Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that he's in the fire. The like of Abu Talib, not any relative of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh, he's a relative of Rasulullah. We have to look. Is he up on the way of Rasulullah or not? He's opposing Rasulullah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah, only claiming, I'm from the family of Rasulullah. Okay, you're from the family, we will put you over our heads, over our fathers, over our scholars, but with one condition. When you be up on the way of Rasulullah. Because he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he stood on the mountain of As-Safa in Mecca and called Quraysh, and then called the tribe of Abdul Muttalib, the tribe of Hashim, and then called the tribe of Abdul Muttalib, and then called his direct relatives, his daughter Fatima, his uncles, Abbas and Hamza, his aunt Safiya. He called them by names and he said, ask me of my wealth whatever you want, I give you, but I don't own nothing of Allah's mercy for you. And then he said, don't let people come to me with their deeds, their good deeds, and you want to come to me by your relation, lineage to me or with me. And then he said, he whoever his deed was so slow in delivering him to me cannot be driven faster with his lineage to me. So we respect the descendant of Rasulullah with one condition, that they don't oppose the Sunnah of Rasulullah. If they want to use their connection to Rasulullah to destroy his deen, no way. We accept the non-Arab who loves the Sunnah of Rasulullah and who is upon it, than the one who is a descendant from Rasulullah but opposing the Sunnah of Rasulullah. As he, Rasulullah, did. He brought clothes Bilal, who was a slave, Abyssinian. Black slave from Abyssinia. And he brought him clothes and he said, Bilal, he loved Bilal. And he made him to be the muaddin of his. Salman, his Farsian. And he was slave too. But he said, Salman from us, the family of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While he freed himself from Abu Lahab, his uncle, his direct uncle, Abdul Uzza. And he said that when his uncle Abbas asked him about his other uncle, Abu Talib, who supported him, but he died on Kubur, he said, what did you make to your uncle who passed away? He said, Allah Ta'ala minimize the punishment for him to be the lowest from amongst the people of fire, just because he supported me. But because he died on shirk, there is no place for him in the Jannah. There is no place for him in the Jannah. So these two are in the fire, they're uncles. Not all uncles. Hamza is in the Jannah, Abbas is in the Jannah, Safiya is in the Jannah. But those who disbelieve are not. So today, those who try to destroy his Sunnah by practicing the bid'ah and innovating and bringing even shirk, how come we accept them? The blame on them is doubled. Because they should be the defenders of the Sunnah of Rasulullah, not the opposers of it. No? And those who try to speak ill of the family of Rasulullah are guilty, are in sin, are the worst of mankind. Are the worst of mankind. If they speak about the innocent ones of the family of Rasulullah, whether these women are wives or children or grandchildren or other relatives. As Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لُعِنُوا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. ها 24 الأحزاب نعم الله تعالى السيد إن الذين يؤذون الله ورسوله لعنهم الله في الدنيا والآخرة وأعد لهم عذابا مهينا. Verily those who annoy Allah and His Messenger, Allah has cursed them in this world and in the hereafter, and He prepared for them a humiliating torment. Look at that. So, whoever speaks ill of Aisha, he is annoying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is bothering him. He is hurting him. How come you speak about that? They say, the enemies of Allah, the Rafida, the cousins of Yahud, the worse than monkeys, these rubbish people, say that Aisha committed zina. What do they want by that? What do they want to say? Do they want to say that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم except to live with a prostitute? أعوذ بالله. How come he did not punish her? How come that he accepted to stay with her, to keep her? How come that he asked all of his wives to allow him to stay in the house of Aisha until dying, and not to tour around their houses? And he died on her thigh, in her house. How come they say that, subhanAllah? Can Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do that? Who said about the one who loves more than Aisha, Fatima radiallahu anha. He loves Fatima more than Aisha, more than all of his wives. This is Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. He loves her the most, but she is his daughter. He said, by Allah, by the one whom my soul in his hand, if Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would have stolen, I would have cut her hand. Stealing. Not zina. Stealing. And cut her hand to stay amongst people living with hand cut. To see that she's stolen. Not stoning her until death, people forget, and that's it. SubhanAllah. Anyone who says and swears that he will do this with his daughter, will accept that his wife commits zina and he keep quiet? And Allah Ta'ala knows and keep quiet? A'udhu billah. What these people are? Are these Muslims? Wallahi, they are not Muslims. Wallahi, they are kuffar. Wallahi, they are worse than the Yahud and the Nasara and the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Sikhs, and worse than the ants and worse than the snakes and worse than the shoes. لعنهم الله لعنهم الله. And I warn everybody not to dirt his hand by putting it in their hands. Touching them is a cause of impurity, is a cause of dirt. Seeing their faces is a cause of sadness, is a cause of perversity, is a cause of pain. لعنهم الله. And from the adab is to from the adab of the Rasulullah is to keep sending peace and blessings upon him whenever his name is mentioned. Whenever his name is mentioned. As he said, Al-Bakhilu man dhukirtu indahu wa lam yusalli alayya. The stingy one of you, the greedy one of you, is the one whenever I am mentioned before him, he doesn't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the end of the first part of the khutbah. In the second part, I started in faith by praising Allah and sending peace and blessings to the mercy that Allah Ta'ala bestowed to the Ummah, to the mankind, and the blessing that Allah Ta'ala sent, who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad the son of Abdullah, the master and best of the first and last, the Imam, the leader of the prophets and messengers, the one who is the intercessor, who is going to be definitely given the, or be allowed to intercede on the day of resurrection, and upon his good members of his family, and upon his wives, the women of chastity, the mothers of believers, and upon his companions, people of piety, the ones who fear Allah the most, and those who follow them, and those who follow him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and take the guidance from him up until the day of resurrection. And then I said afterward, verily, it is not from the adab, it is not from, so no one to twist my wording, it is not from the adab with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to put forth a statement of anybody before the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever he is, as some people, when they are told that, oh, Rasulullah said so and so, they say, but the Shaykh said this. A'udhu billah, what is that? Who you, who your Shaykh is, to say that? A'udhu billah. Allah Ta'ala said, as in Surah An-Nisa, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, or you who believe. So, find yourself. Are you from believers? Then listen to this call from Allah. All you who believe, أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. Obey Allah and obey the messenger and those of the power amongst you. فإن تنازعتم في شيء. So if you have any disagreement or argument or conflict with each other, then what to do? Where is the judgment? فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر. Then refer it back to Allah and to his messenger. To Allah, how come to refer it back to Allah? To Allah meaning to the Quran. To the messenger meaning to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In his life to him personally. After he passed away, to his sunnah. To his sunnah. Naam? And that is a condition of your iman. That is a condition. That is if you really believe in Allah and in the hereafter. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَحْسَنٌ تَعْوِيلًا. That is better and better also interpretation and understanding. And Allah Ta'ala said also in Surah An-Nisa, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Nay, by your Lord, they would not believe, they would not be true believers. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Up until they take you as a judge in whatsoever matters that they have conflict between each other. So, ثم لا يجد في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت. And then they have no hesitation to accept your judgment. ويسلموا تسليما. And they completely submit to what you say, what you judge. That is the condition of your iman. Not to put anybody before Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Imam Shafi'i رحمه الله تعالى said that the ulama, all the ulama agreed that whoever the sunnah is clearly presented to him, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly presented to him, it is then not permissible for him to leave it for a statement of whosoever. It's not permissible for him to leave it for a statement of whosoever. And Imam al-Humaydi, rahimahullah ta'ala, said the Imam al-Bukhari and Shafi'i, Imam al-Bukhari and student of Shafi'i, he said, we were sitting with the Shafi'i, rahimahullah, when a man came and asked him about an issue in the religion. So the Imam al-Shafi'i said, well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so and so about it. Another man said, but ya Imam, ya Shafi'i, ya Imam, what do you say about it? Notice now. What do you say about it? Imam al-Shafi'i said, Subhanallah. Glory be Allah. Meaning he's wondering. He's wondering and objecting at the same time. It's an objection to this statement. And he's wondering, are you foolish or what? Are you stupid? What is that? How is this question to be raised? And then he said, do you find me in a church? Do you see me now in a church? Meaning, do you see that I'm Christian? I'm a pope? I'm a priest? Do you see me in a bay'ah? Bay'ah is a smaller, is a personal worshiping place of a church, of a Christian worshiper, called bay'ah. Then he said, do you see a zinnar on my waist? Zinnar is a type of belt or cloth that the Yahud tie on their wrists as a sign, as a form, to be recognized with, to be distinguished with. And then he said to him, if you don't see that I'm a Christian nor a Jew, who put the statement of their people before their prophets? That's the Christian and Jew, not the Muslim. Muslim cannot put the statement of anybody before the statement of Rasulullah. He said to him, I say to you, Rasulullah said so and so, and you say, what do you say? A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. That's, subhanAllah, that's wonderful. And from the adab with Rasulullah is to take care of learning his sunnah, spreading it, teaching it to others, conveying it to others. And this is one major chapter, or let's call it a great gate of the chapters and gates of birr, goodness or piety. And it is a proof for the love of Rasulullah, that you love Rasulullah. When you get yourself busy and involved in learning the sunnah and teaching it, then it is a proof that you love him. That's why you want to spread his sunnah. Now, and this is for what is found in it, from raising the sunnah of Rasulullah above anything else. Other than the Quran, of course. And spreading the guidance of Rasulullah amongst the mankind. And Rasulullah has subligated. The ulama say this is either subligation from him, what I'm going to say of his hadith, either subligation or news that he gave. News that he said. If it is a news, then it is a news said by one who never be lied, who never speak lie. If it is a supplication, then it is a supplication from one whose supplication never be rejected. So whether it's a supplication or a news, you are lucky if you do as it guides you to. Isa said, Nabbara Allahu imri'an. What does the word Nabbara mean? In Arabic, Nabbara, as Allah Ta'ala said, Wujuhun yawma idhin nadhira ila rabbiha nadhira. We have difference between nadira with the da, and nadira with the. the ضَ which has alif above it. That's ضَ. نَاظِرًا means beautiful. Very beautiful faces. Very beautiful faces. Not necessarily to be white faces. And the ayah were it does not mean that all the faces be in color yani of white color. No, but it means the most beautiful one. He might be brown but beautiful. He might be black but beautiful. He might be red but beautiful. The most beautiful faces are the faces of those who get involved in learning and teaching the sunnah. Not the engineers. Not the doctors. Because some people, looking to, they are abundant studying the sunnah and this, but they are, mashallah, so, interesting in learning about dunya. Oh, people say, doctor came, doctor go, engineer came, engineer go. This is not anything. And it is not to have or to get a degree, even in Islamic studies. But the important, because most take it from me, and I'm responsible of it before Allah. Most of those who have degrees, even in Islamic science, I don't say all, but I say most. They do not give much care about studying the Sunnah and teaching it. Maybe they have some care, but not much care. Not much care. So most of Mr. Capital D, small r, dots, are dots. Are only dots. Or let me correct it, are only ducks. They just repeat. You know the ducks when they go in a fall? The duck, the mother, give the sound, and all the babies behind it give the same sound. But who really take much care about the sunnah? It's not necessarily to be carrying a degree, but the important is to stick to the sunnah, learning the sunnah, teaching the sunnah. And that's why you see Albani, the muhaddith of this asr, of this time, he didn't have any degree. Ibn Baz, the muhaddith of this asr, he didn't have any degree. Uthaymeen only had the baccalaureate only. And it is a necessity. But after that, he did not get himself busy with it. Abbas, Abdul Muhsin Abbas, same thing. Muhammad Adam, same thing. But it is to get really involved and busy yourself with it. Learn it. Implement it. Teach it. Spread it. Not take degree and sit home with a good comfortable car and house and position and that's it. Or only or worse than that, come out on media and start speaking of very nonsense speech. Like what we hear today. Yes for demonstration, yes for and start speaking on a Western tongue. On a Western tongue. As I told you, a duck only. D-U-C-K. A duck only. Repeating what the others say. But not really getting himself busy with this. Rasulullah said, نَبَّرَ اللَّهُ مْرِئًا سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَوَعَاهَا فَأَدَّاهَا. May Allah make the face of the one. May Allah bring beauty to the face of the one who hears my statement and memorize it and then convey it to others. فَرُبَّ مُبَلَّغٍ أَوْعَى مِنْ سَمِعَ. There might be one who it is conveyed to who understand it more than the conveyor. Now, as Sufyan ibn Uyayna said, rahimahullah ta'ala, this is very good statement, ikhwan, listen to this. He said, لا تجد أحدا من أهل الحديث إلا في وجه نظرة. إلا في وجه نظرة. You will never find any of people of hadith, meaning those who get themselves busy with hadith, not claiming that they are Abu al-Hadith, لا بس busy with busy themselves with the hadith of Rasulullah sallam. Except that you see some type of beauty in their faces, you love them for the sake of Allah. And he said that is for the du'a from Rasulullah sallam. Imam al-Shafi'i said, if I see a man of al-hadith, one person of al-hadith, it is like if I see one of the companions of Rasulullah sallam. Why? Because the companion of Rasulullah sallam, they convey his hadith. And these people who are busy with hadith, they convey his hadith. Not because they are equal to Sahaba, la. They cannot be equal to Sahaba. But the duty that they are involved in is the same, conveying the hadith of Rasulullah. And then I ended the khutbah by saying, making dua, may Allah Ta'ala give the highest reward to the people of knowledge and students of knowledge in general, and specific the people of hadith and students of hadith. May Allah Ta'ala reward them highly on behalf of Islam and Muslims, and may Allah Ta'ala fill their faces with beauty and their hearts with faith and happiness, and make their scales of good deeds the heaviest on the day of resurrection for what they memorized and conveyed of the Sunnah of Rasulullah. May Allah Ta'ala turn their faces white on the day of resurrection, and may Allah Ta'ala give them their books by their rights, and make them from those who enter the Jannah without any questioning nor torment, and make them from amongst those who passes on the path as fast as the lightning. And may Allah Ta'ala make them as He made them to be from the ones who proceeded first and immediately to serve the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallam, to make for them a good remembrance amongst people after they pass away in their life, in this life, and may Allah preserve them and themselves, their families, and make from their families a settling of their eyes. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Any question? السلام ورحمة الله. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. حياكم الله. كيف حالكم؟ الحمد لله. إن شاء الله بخير.
Then it's female, the males of both of them, what are they going to say? So they just give them all. I'm going to Shabbat today. As I know, Sheikh Salah Fawzan is the only one who says that this is a way of riba. But many other shuyukh, like Sheikh Al-Kamil, was asked about it, and he said it's okay, it's no problem, because there is no any. Sheikh Fawzan said that because there is a hadith. أَيُّمَا قَرْضٍ جَرَّ نَفْعٍ فَهُوَ رِبَى. Any loan that brings a benefit to the one, then it's a benefit. And he considers that this is a type of loan. But when the other shaykh looked at it, and he said, this is not a loan. It's only cooperating, as Sheikh Ibn Baz also said, it's cooperating on goodness. They collect money, same amount, and then they give it to one of them. And next, same thing. It's not a loan, rather that it's saving it with someone. Allah. Yeah.